from the town of Bedrock. There were pages right out of history. Trumpet, wave, and Fred will win the fight. Then that cat will stay out for the night. One door with the Flintstones. And the other gather due time. And gather due time. We'll have a gay old time.
Okay. Good morning. It's Hot and Cold. I'm Tom. It's 8:06. That's what it is. And you know, what a great song. And okay, I'll do the old man lament. Cartoons these days do not have that kind of big band music. And doggone it, they should. Our children, our grandchildren are missing. But of course, right here, you get it. So anyway. Get that out of the way. Okay, so Halloween is over. Well, we got three more days of all the crap coming in the mail. Does anybody get swayed by the glossy stuff that comes in the mail? I don't care who it's from. It gets dispatched immediately. Candidates, save your money. Stop filling up my mailbox with your stuff. I'll be kind. All right. So, 3 days, that's over. And we go on to other things. The big thing, let's get back to reality for a moment. And nuts and bolts of life here. The season is upon us that they're going to start putting the stuff on the roads again. And I've got an axe to grind. And I had to look it up because I know I've said it before, but I remember during the Baldacci administration lamenting the cost of what is on the roads to us, the public, in terms of the degradation, the rusting away of one of our bigger investments in life, which is our cars. Now, we undercoat everything. We do rust repair. If we get a car that's got any hint of rust, we will fix it before we put it out. If we miss it, we'll take care of it. I mean, you know, we're only human. Occasionally, we miss things. We're not perfect. But here's the deal. Here's why I'm so whiny about it or agitated about it this morning. A week or so ago, my car, which I'm trying to get to 500,000 miles, for no good reason other than it's showing signs that it would make it there. I take it to my mechanic. I said, change the oil. Give it a once over. Before winter comes, we need to undercoat. Let's undercoat again. Car was undercoated. I personally undercoated the car. And I did a good job. My car, I'm going to undercoat. I'm not going to. There's nothing to cheat on in undercoating. It's either undercoated or not. I get a phone call from my mechanic. This don't look good. And it didn't. I had replaced the outer rod. I have a 2006, six or seven. I think it's a seven. Prius. And it has metal rockers. And they make it, and they rust away. I mean, you know, these are not real heavy metal cars. What cars are, but. So I got replacement rockers. You can get replacement rockers for the 04 to 09 Prius. I got replacement rockers. They're probably 6 times thicker than the original metal. Something like that. They're really heavy. And I installed them. And I glued and screwed them in place. I used a adhesive called Silane, a sealant called Silane, which doubles as an adhesive. And I glued and screwed it. And where I screwed in at the bottom, I screwed into the what we call the inner rocker. It's a part the rocker butts up to. And there's a pinch weld along the whole edge of that car. And you can see it if you get down on your knees and look at it. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Screwed together, glued together. I get told that there's rust. Okay. So I'm going to do the repair. And I go to take the screws out. They're in the bottom. 1 year, one godforsaken year later, half of that fastener has corroded away. These were zinc coated. Now, they're electroplated. They're not hot dip galvanized. But it's 1 year. Half of the fastener or more has completely disintegrated. Needless to say, I wasn't happy. The original, the replacement rocker was fine. What was behind it is a mess. So excuse me, I cut metal and fixed it. The one interesting thing, sidebar to this, is the rusty metal came off very easily where it had rusted. The adhesive, the silane, I had to take a chisel and a sledgehammer to get it off of the rocker. The inner rocker, the area that would corroded, that came off pretty easy. The original new metal I put on, I had to chisel it off. So a very good bond. My hat's off to Chris Hayden. C.W. Hayden told me about using silane adhesive, which is a blend of silicone and urethane. And oh, my God, it's so strong. It's amazing. You buy it in what they call sausage tubes. Use a big kind of commercial caulking gun to apply it. And did the trick. So anyway, I've not done with it yet. It's a process because I'm putting sealants on it, hit the microphones, and I put the sealants on it, letting stuff cure, and then going back. And technically, this car was far enough that it was pretty easy to say, no, let it go. And I originally thought, well, you know, cool, I can go get a new car. Well, you know, boys and girls, I have to pay for the car. Just like anybody else. And the car runs fine. So I've been putting in a lot, you know, my mechanic, the point he made, which is a very valid point, is, you know, you're going to put a lot of time and money into this. But I just turned 474,000 miles the other day. So I got a little under 26,000 miles to go. And it's running fine. I drove up this morning. Some lunatic, the lunatics on the interstate are doing 80. I can keep up with them if I want to. Car runs great. And, I'd like to have a nicer, newer car. I'd like to have a Bluetooth radio. I don't want much out of life. Just a Bluetooth radio would be kind of cool. But but here we are. And you know, it's not just me. It's all of us. We deal with this every year. And our cars fall apart. I mean, I sell cars to people all the time that have had, they're gone. They can't be repaired. And I don't know what point, what threshold. I made this point, I don't know, 15 years ago. And the head of the DOT called me on the air, on this sitting right in where I am right now, said, what do you want us to do? Well, use something that doesn't make your car rust. Well, it's going to cost more money. Where's the money coming from? Well, we're paying for it anyway. I think every one of us spends more money than probably what, I don't know, what excise tax would go up or whatever. So it's an ad hoc tax. It's a rust away your car tax as opposed to can we use something different on the roads? And I don't know what that something is. I know some states don't have this issue. I buy car parts from those states. When I have something that's rusted out, I look for a state. Well, I mean, it might be California, but also there's the Midwestern states. They just don't have the issue. What are they doing that we're not? I don't know. But we should find out. Somebody should be paying due diligence to this. I'm sure there are. I'm sure there's earnest people out there at DOT who are trying, but I don't know. This would be, for me, if next time somebody runs for governor, or maybe even with the governor, our current governor, this is an issue. This is a big issue. This is a big economic issue for every person in the state of Maine. And, you know, if you're just starting out and limited income and your car's rusting away and you got to replace it, I don't know if you look lately, but you're spending a lot of money. Car prices are up. They have been since the pandemic. Anyway, we got to go. We got to take a break. It's 8:15. It's hot and cold. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It is 8:18, hot and cold Saturday morning. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4470. We've got the accordion and the electric organ. How's it get any better than that? I don't know.
Take it.
Yeah. Let's sing some Italian songs. Hey, I almost forgot. I didn't forget. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. Massimo, my Gumbada chief of Massimo, he's open on Fridays now. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's what we need in this country, is more Italian food. Yeah. I do get paid for this. You knew that, didn't you? I don't get paid much, but it's fun. So, let's see. Let's see. We got a phone call here. Let's take it. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine. Hello.
Hey, Tom. Hello.
Good. How are you?
How you doing, Tom?
Good.
Yeah, this winter thing. We probably have the longest winter in the whole entire country. It's amazing. There are things that could be done immediately that would help us. We need to take more trees down on the country roads. More sun on the roads is absolutely a must.
Yeah.
You know, take another 10 feet, 20 feet. You're on a road. What the hell? You live on a road? Tough. You're going to lose trees.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure we have the longest winter, but we certainly have the rustiest one. We got some text messages at 601-207-4478. When did we start salting the road? Well, I don't think it's salting the road as much as it is what is going on, the chemical makeup. It isn't just rock salt. There's other stuff going on there too. and I'm not the chemist here. I don't know what the mix is. I just know that it is pretty rusty. Let's see. Check out Colorado. No salt, sand only. They sweep it up and use it again. Around Denver, they don't plow back residential roads. They expect you to have proper tires. Go figure. Well, that's something that Pete and I have raved about a lot. And, you know, we do tend to goof around when Pete's on. But the reality is that everybody expects to be everywhere all the time. Rain or shine, snow or sleet. And there's sometimes maybe you need to stay put. and any plow person will tell you this. Okay. Now, I just plow the driveway at work, and I plow my driveway at home. Driveway at home is no big deal. But at work, I'm on Route 1. And you know, I'll have to, and I'm really paranoid about backing the truck out into Route 1 to, you know, push in the entry. But there's always somebody who comes zooming down the road. There's no traffic. And then inevitably I'm backing out in the road. Somebody comes zooming down Route 1 because they have to be somewhere because they have all-wheel drive. And I understand that. But the reality is, do we need to be everywhere all the time at once? Or do we need to, I mean, you know, I drive around a Prius. There are times a Prius is not appropriate to be on the road. And I don't drive that Prius when that time comes. I just either stay home or I do have a truck with a plow on it, and I will use that. I don't want to because it's expensive to run. But let's see. Have you looked at the climate action plan update? I have not. Come on. I don't know. Anyway, so I got that off my chest. But it's, it is what it is. Somebody asked about undercoating. We use wool wax, New Hampshire oil that the car doctor talks about, I think is okay. There's wax oil, there's fluid film. I think this has to be an annual thing. If you want to maintain your vehicle, you probably need to have it done annually. I don't know if I trust the fact that all of this stuff, the stuff that gets put on that's supposedly forever, is going to last forever. I don't think that's reality. And obviously cost is a factor. The wool wax is what we use. It's not highly expensive. You can apply it yourself with spray cans. I think it's better applied if the car is on a lift where you can see all the nooks and crannies. And even then it can be challenging to get everywhere. But the areas where we had, well, I'm going to qualify my particular situation because the Prius is a little bit of an unusual car, although a lot of cars are doing this now. There was that particular model that I drive had these plastic pans underneath the car to keep airflow, to minimize turbulence so you get better fuel economy. And these pans have a little bit of a lip on them, and they will catch sand and dirt and stuff that's on the roads. And of course, that holds water. So that has contributed to the issue. But where the fasteners were, there was no sand or rust or anything. That was just right out in the open. It gets wet, it dries, wet, dry, and gets all this stuff splashed on it. And it's those areas. It's adjacent to the edge of the car. And in the front and rear suspension where stuff splashes up, it's bad news. So the best we can do is get the car washed, get it undercoated. Until somebody has the presence. I would love to see somebody do a financial analysis, and maybe they've done it. What is the cost to the people of Maine on the deterioration of their automobiles versus the cost of what we put on the roads or how we deal with road issues. I suspect, this is my opinion, and I'm spending way too much time on this, but this is my opinion. I suspect it has something to do with economic development because people have to go buy new cars or new used cars, cars that are rust-free. And that gooses the economy? Is that what we're dealing with? I hope not. I hope that's not that cynical. I don't want to be cynical here. I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist. But we'll see. I don't know. Anyway. On happier notes, after 20 minutes of raving, I finally finished last night painting the basement floor. And I got stuff that I have to move around. And the last bit I had to move around, my youngest child has deposited some of her belongings in my basement. And I needed to move them out of the way to paint the floor, the last area that I had not done. It was adjacent to where I had my band, so I moved the band, so I painted under that a couple weeks ago, and I hadn't gotten back to it. So I said, okay. I was actually on the elliptical machine in the basement. I said, you know what? This is boring as hell. Let me go paint the floor. That's what you got to do. If there's a project you don't want to do, do something worse than that project, and it gets done. No, I'd rather, I'll paint the floor. Yeah, I'll paint everything. So that's done. So now I haven't told my wife this, but I've had it for about a year. I've got the Kills or something like it. I forget what it is. And all the trim in the house is pine, and just some knot bleed through. So I've got to go and go over that and repaint interior trim. And by golly, I'm going to get it done before Christmas. If she's listening, that's not a hard promise, but I just made the commitment on the radio here, so that's almost as good. So we'll see. We'll see how that one goes. Other fun things that have happened, I picked up an electric bike with big fat tires. And I always thought an electric bike with big fat tires was kind of cool. It's a mountain bike. And it doesn't work. And it was 1 mile down the street from where my shop is. So I grabbed it, and it was cheap because it doesn't run electrically. And I can deal with that. I haven't solved it yet. It's only a year old. The bike's only a year old, and it beat. I don't know what I got it from a kid. I don't know I didn't know what the backstory was. I didn't think to ask at the moment because it was pretty cheap. But it's been around. So customer service, because all electric bikes probably are made in China, and certainly the components are. And I'm looking for a controller, electronic controller for the thing, and trying to contact the company, which I've done, and they responded, but it's like a 24-hour wait period because they're on the other side of the world, the time difference, yada yada. They said, I told them the model of the bike. They said, well, send us pictures of the bike. Send us pictures of the controller, which the label is off the controller. My life would be a lot simpler if it was on, but it's not. They wanted a picture of something else. Oh, the label on the bike. So I sent all those, and we're just now, I'm learning patience. I'm already patient. I mean, I think so. Anyway. Hey, oh my goodness. Speaking of being patient, we got another break. Oh God. This is what happens when you talk too much. It is hot and cold. The phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. We'll be right back.
Well, the moon belongs to everyone. The best things in life are free. Stars belong to everyone. They gleam there for you and for me. Flowers in spring, the robins that sing, the sunbeams that shine, they yours and they're mine. Love can come to everyone. The best things in life are free. The moon belongs to everyone. The best things in life are free. Stars belong to everyone. Take with them there for you and for me.
Round, round, get around, I get around.
Yeah,
get around, round, round.
Down the same old strip, I gotta find a new place where the kids are hip. My buddies and me, you're getting real well known. Yeah, the bad guys know us and they leave us alone. I get around,
round, round, round. I get around.
Okay, we're back. It's 8:34. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Just want to tell you about our friends at General Appliance and Brewer. If you're looking for appliance parts or service, they're on Center Street, open 9 to 4 Monday through Friday. Their phone number, 989-4341. That's 989-4341. Right there. Our phone number here, 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. Over to the phones. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yeah, Tom, my name is Ken, and I've been trying to get through. I got a song for you and your business, and for your, you like to play the banjo, right?
Yes, sir.
Took me about 10 years to figure it out. It's Cash in the Barrel Head, sung by Dolly Parton.
Yes. Yeah,
it's a perfect song. Have you heard that?
I have heard it. It's a good song. I'll dig it up. We'll play it.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Okay, thanks, Ken. See
you. Thank you, sir.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, good one. Let's go over there. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine. Hello?
Yes, good morning, Tom. This is... Hello?
Hi, you're on the air. Turn your radio down.
Yes, hi, this is Arthur from... I shut it off.
Okay.
This is Arthur from Carroll Plantation. I need some advice on installing an oil heater furnace.
Okay.
It's a Miller, and it's a type that's used... Yeah, it's used in a mobile home.
Yep.
And the outlet pipe, you know, the chimney pipe is a 4-inch.
Mm.
Now, I want to put it through the wall, not through the ceiling, okay? And I need your advice on how to go about that.
Boy, the thing you have to do when you're doing something like this is go back to what the manufacturer says you can do or can't do. And the reason being that, and I'm not sure if it's you, I assume it's UL listed, but maybe it's not. It could be, I've drawn a blank on the other listings, but if you can pull up the original installation manual online, which usually you can, if it shows a vent through the wall, it probably would be going through some kind of thimble that has an air gap. You know, so it's not too hot.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's kosher or not. I'm gonna guess it's not.
Okay.
But end all and be all. I mean, here if you put it through the sidewall and it catches the building on fire, the insurance company is going to say no, you did it wrong. So you have to do it to whatever the manufacturer got certified when it okay. first was made.
Okay, the original installation, it just used a regular, like, plain galvanized pipe, or whatever you want to call it. It
wasn't
insulated. It went up through the ceiling. The ceiling opening was big, okay, so there was a big air gap, and
right.
then there was a cap at the top, you know,
right.
basically a rain cap. So that was it. It wasn't insulated or anything.
Well,
and I don't think that pipe gets too hot, but I just don't know.
Yeah, but the difference is that when you're going horizontal to go out and maybe even, you know, go up a bit. It plays with the draft,
stack on it.
And it, of course, if it's an uninsulated pipe, it may be that it's now the easy solution or not so easy solution would be to use something like a power vent, which kind of would supersede the original spec in that it has a induced draft and.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. I'm not. You may not have to do that. But just to go back to the Miller specs, whatever they say. If they say you can do it, you get what they say to use, and you're in business.
Right. Okay. And also, last question. Mm-hmm. It says it gets this air from the floor.
Right.
Okay. But I'm noticing, like on pellet stoves, they have a air intake from the outside.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, the oxygen is going to be consumed in that room, isn't it?
Yeah, if the room is sealed, but I believe it's been a long time since I've been in a mobile home. if a Miller gun furnace is in the little utility room, there's usually louvers on the door, so it's pulling air from the other space. Now, inevitably, all that air is coming from outside because you're venting out through the roof. It's pulling in air. It's going to come in through cracks and the like. But it's not a sealed combustion device the way a pellet stove would be if you had it, had the cold air inlet to it. That technically that makes it a sealed combustion device. The Miller, I'm not real familiar with them, but I'm pretty sure they don't make a sealed combustion unit. But I could be wrong on that.
Okay. So it's basically up to the leakage in the mobile home for the oxygen, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and you don't want to have a solid door. I mean, if it's in a utility room, you've got to have ventilation coming into that room to feed the furnace, or it's not going to function properly.
Yes, that's what I think I'll do. Okay, thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Take care. Yeah, my friend Jim down in Southern Maine is swapping out. He had a rather expensive combi boiler to feed a radiant floor, and I want to say. It was $8,000 installed. I could be making that up, but I want to say it was about that. Now, this did domestic hot water and space heat. and the thing acted up 2 years ago, and that was a sign from somebody that you need to think about replacement time. And he knows, as I do, the owner of the company that sold the unit. It's a small world we live in. And he said, oh, yeah, it's about 10 years old. So, yeah, it's about the end of its life cycle. And it's, you know, $8,000. So we were talking about it, and I said, well, the alternative here is to get a wall-hung gas water heater like a Takagi, which is what he got. And I'll have to look up the price online. I don't have to look it up. It was about $800, and it direct vents out through the wall. And he's putting it in. He's swapping out the – I spoke to him yesterday. He went to Home Depot to buy some copper fittings to solder pipes together with copper pipes, solder, you know, solder with a torch and the flux, and he couldn't get any fittings. They were PEX fittings, which I understand. They were shark bites, which I sort of understand. And there were press fittings. So he wound up ordering what he needed. He needed some specialty copper fittings from supplyhouse.com. They come in 2 days, and the price is reasonable. Excuse me. And I don't know how far. He was just starting yesterday. He's been all week anticipating, waiting for the parts. And I haven't heard back. I haven't had any calls of desperation yet. Please come to Southern Maine and help me. He's quite capable. And he had put a heat pump water heater in for domestic hot water, at least for the short term. Could put a second unit in. Again, if you're replacing a combi boiler to the tune of $8,000, you could put two Takagis in, one for domestic hot water, one for space heat, for $800 each. Yeah, there's some plumbing involved. But if you're doing it yourself, it's not a huge deal. If it's the direct vent and it comes with a vent kit, you know, this is pretty simple. This is not rocket science. Well, it's a little bit. It's plumbing science. But it got me thinking. I was reading something because I do peruse plumbing things online. These youngsters these days ain't soldering pipes. They're using press fits. And press fit has a giant hydraulic press, if you will, and a fitting with an O-ring in it, and it just compresses around the pipe. Still use copper pipe, but these fittings compressor and you know, are watertight and quite reliable. And yeah, it's faster. You're not going to burn the building down. I'll plumb with PEX, thank you, as much as I can, and hopefully get away with it. Maybe not. It seems to work. It's All Souls Day. Did you know that? For those of you who suffered through Catholic school, All Saints Day, we'd have Halloween. I went to a Catholic school as a kid. All Saints Day, which was the day after Halloween, November 1st, yesterday, we had to go to church. And if my memory serves me right, maybe you lost Catholics out there can share. I think All Souls Day, we were supposed to go to church. There's a lot of church going. The Catholics got it all locked up. I mean, you know, you talk about all these big industrial churches down south and stuff. You know, they go on Sunday. Maybe they go Bible study during the week. Catholics, we got all those. We had all these other days. You got to go, man. You got to go. You got to go to confession. You got to tell the priest what you did. 10 years old, what the heck did I do wrong? I guess I came up with stuff because I always had to say three Our Fathers and two Hail Marys or something like that. Let's see. What else we got here? Another project. This is one close to heart. This is the fun one. I do... When I'm home at night And I will do some of it during the day if I have some time. And it doesn't always happen. But I think I had mentioned I'd picked up some Quarian from my friends at Bangor Laminates for my next banjo project. And this was a all Quarian, except for the neck, banjo. And I made it, I don't know what the pattern is called, but it's just kind of a cool, got a lot of flex of different things, and it came out really nice, and it's really cool looking, and put it together, and it sounded not great. So I made a resonator out of Quarian. Resonators on the back of the instrument to help project the sound out. And it may be the resonator was not at fault. I'm sleuthing this, trying to discover the acoustic physics taking place here. But I took the resonator off. I wanted to make it's half inch thick, and I wanted to get some half inch oak. So I don't think Home Depot had it, if my memory serves me right. Lowe's did. So I went to Lowe's a couple weeks ago now. No, it was last week, I guess. I went to Lowe's. They have half-inch oak. I'm looking at the half-inch oak, and it looks like crap. I'll be blunt. I just was. It didn't look good. It was not, I'm not getting this. So I'm looking at it. I'm mulling it over. There was not a lot of inventory. I don't have a planer to plane it plane down 3/4 inch, which I have in stock that I could use, but I don't have a planer, so at least not yet. That's coming. But the... I'm looking around, and they have quarter-inch oak. Quarter-inch oak is discounted big time from $6 for a piece down to $2 for a piece. I said, okay, this is a sign. I can laminate this to get. Now, the quarter-inch oak has cupped because it's only quarter-inch, and it's oak. And it's cupped, but it's not cupped bad enough that I think, well, I can clamp this down and laminate. So I'll cross-laminate it to make up my – I need 13 inches in diameter. So I get the stuff, I get out the tight bond, I get out the clamps, I get out pieces of wood to help clamp down to compress the cupping, which was not significant, but it was obvious. And I glue it up, and it came out great. It was flat enough that I could use it. And the glue, I did a good job gluing it, and I got enough clamps that I could clamp it well. So I have a radius cutter, hooks on to a router. And whenever I do something like cut a circle with a router, I'll do it in quarter-inch jumps. I don't want to take too much at one time. And I've messed up some pieces with a router or somehow moved or slipped or something loosened up. So I'm very meticulous about this, and I go ahead and I start cutting. And I got the first cut. I set it down to do the second cut, and the router moved. And the diameter constricted. So I said, okay, let's redo this. Let's accommodate the loss that I had just incurred. And I didn't think it through the way I should have. But anyway, I wound up with a 12-inch diameter instead of 13-inch. It looks good. Laminations look good. Everything's glued nice and tight. I bring it home. I just wasn't thinking about the what I needed for diameter. And 12 inches ain't hacking it. So, all right, what do I do now? And I can get some more wood and make another one. But I thought about it. I said, okay, how about if I just cut down the center of this 12-inch piece and insert a 1-inch wide half-inch piece? And I did that, and I glued it and clamped it. And I guess I'm getting pretty good at gluing stuff together because it came out okay. I went and tried to fit it, and I got to go perpendicular to the first 1-inch piece and cut it again, which I did, and clamp it again. So it's not quite round. It looks more or less round. And it's usable. I've got the diameter I need. So I cleaned it up, sanded it, put a little bit of oil on it just to make it look pretty. And one piece is so it's red oak. So one centerpiece that I original piece I put in was red oak, and now it's the thing is longer. I want to go perpendicular. I didn't have a piece long enough, so I used mahogany. So I got a nice accent, right? And I put the instrument together, and it sounds better. Ah. Except there's some other issues I have to work through in terms of the action and how the neck is set up. So everything is apart again. And it keeps me entertained. I go home, end of the day, this time of year especially. You know, it's getting darker out earlier. I really feel the need for a nap when I get home. And then eventually I wind up in the basement, and if I'm not painting the floor, I'm working on the instrument. So but here's the thing. And this is the problem. You're going to love this, all of you people out there who hate the banjo. I will bring this instrument in to play when I'm done with it. Once I'm happy with what I got, because I'm you know, every step, and there've been multiple steps. I can't tell you how many prototypes I've gone through. These instruments continue to evolve, and you know, you find out what doesn't work and what works, and then the common knowledge advances, hopefully. So anyway, that's enough banjo talk. Let's go back to the phones. There we go. Good morning. You're on the voice main.
I can solve your problem.
Okay.
Just buy a piece of oak that's whatever thickness you want, and depth or whatever, or width at Owen Gray. They got wood there that, you know what Owen Gray is?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Check them out. They got wood there that would help you out tremendously.
Yeah. Well, I have gotten wood from them in the past years ago. It's been a while, but I have, you know, the dilemma is just to have something that's half inch, and I, if I had a planer and I've had access to them in the past, I don't have one right now, but I have a feeling that's next, you know, because you can never have enough tools. And what was my wife got on a floor mat. She's got this thing about floor mats, and doesn't want me tracking, doesn't want dirt tracked in the house. The insinuation here is usually I'm the only one who comes into the house from outdoors, so it's me, which is okay. I mean, it's true. I'll track stuff in, so we wound up doing a run to Bangor for a specific floor mat on Sunday. And while we were up there, we went to the new Rennie's where I bought a bamboo cutting board that I said, that'll make a perfect resonator. Let me try bamboo because it's a harder wood. It's not technically a wood, I guess. It's a harder cellulose product than a lot of hardwoods. And that worked out okay. I still prefer the sound I get off of oak. Then I was right at Rennie's in Bangor, and you know what's right next door to Rennie's in Bangor? Okay. Do you? What's the Harbor Freight? So I had to go buy some clamps because you fill in the blank here. You can never have what? Enough clamps. So I got more clamps because I didn't need them for what I was doing, except you can never have enough clamps. Anyway, I told you my buddy Massimo is open at 9 o'clock. He's open on Fridays now, starting yesterday, which is a good thing. If you have to have your pizza or your panini, place to go, or fresh bread. I mean, that's really his forte, is fresh bread. So, and if I bring home a loaf of his fresh bread, that's all I'm eating is fresh bread for till it's gone, and it's usually gone in a day and a half. Pete will be with us next hour. That's something, I guess, to look forward to. I got to clean the shop this week. I've been doing that forever, but I really intensely cleaned it because my daughter, Maria, wanted to get a couple of tons of pellets delivered, and she doesn't have any room for it at home, so my shop is the default place for that. And I had to clean up the shop. I had to make room. I had a bunch of stuff in the way. So actually, once I got rolling this week, it's just been kind of nonstop. And it just keeps looking a little bit better every time. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back.
Man, an arm of iron, so he could do his job and never shirk. The Lord above gave man an arm of iron, but with a little bit of luck, with a little bit of luck, someone else will do the blinking work. With a little bit, with a little bit, with a little bit of luck, you'll never work. The Lord above made liquor for temptation, to see if man could turn away from sin. The Lord above made liquor for temptation, but with a little bit of luck, with a little bit of luck, when temptation comes, you'll give right in. With a little bit, with a little bit, with a little bit of luck, you'll give right in. Oh, you can walk the straight and narrow, but we're back.
Good people, you're invited tonight to the riverboat shuffle. Good people, we got that rhythm tonight at the riverboat shuffle. Let Tim and that side pop tutor is grand. Best Louisiana got to bring your freighter, alligator that band. Dum, dum, da 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 dum. Good people, I got that minor Burke joy in a special orchestration. Even Mama Dinah gonna be there, strut her thing for the boy. She gonna teach you to shuffle it right. You better bring your baby. I'm gonna see you at this riverboat shuffle tonight. Hey.
Backs 906 hot and cold Saturday morning. I'm Tom, and phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. Let's see, what do we got? Oh, set the clocks back tonight. I think we gain an we gain an hour because of that. I always kind of, my dyslexic brain kicks in on that one, but my wife wants me to set the clock back early. So we can adjust. I'm not sure that makes sense, but okay. Except all the TV shows I'm going to watch tonight are going to be off by an hour, but that's okay. I don't watch regular TV shows. Oh, which is it? I'm not sure if it's is it November 5th? Is it November 5th? The curse of Oak Island begins again. Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? That makes Election Day a whole lot better. Curse of Oak Island is coming back because who knows what has happened. There is somebody who lives adjacent to Oak Island in Nova Scotia, off, you know, like right across, there's a causeway that goes from the mainland to Oak Island. They live right opposite that, and they have a thing online, and they take pictures of all the comings and goings and report, which is important. I can't wait for them to start digging up pieces of wood again. That's going to be awesome. I'll tell you what, it's going to be too much to bear. Oh, I got it here now. Tom, All Saints Day is a holy day of obligation. All Souls Day, November 1st, is not. At our Catholic school, we had all holy days off, so we never had school the day after Halloween, but we had to go to Mass. Well, that's a trade-off, isn't it? I was in school, so it's sort of a mixed blessing, and there's a pun in there somewhere. that we went to Mass. You missed classes because you went to Mass. And I'll never forget, I also went to a all-boys Catholic high school, much to my chagrin. And we were seniors, and we're just, almost done. Technically, we're done for the year, and they have to have a Mass in the school, which they do with some regularity. Anyway, and the priest was okay. I mean, this was now 1970. So 60s had just kind of gone slightly by. And he's doing a little sermon. He says, and you know why we're all here? And somebody says, well, because we can't graduate if we don't go to Mass. And he was shocked. What does he think? You ask a bunch of teenagers that question. They're going to be honest with you. But then, to make it even more fun, the actual graduation, pomp and circumstance, yada, yada, was in a church where we also had to go to Mass again, because maybe they figured it's the last time we're going to go. we've fallen Catholics. So let's get on to more fun stuff. Although All Souls Day is pretty fun, I have to admit. But I had seen this online, and I happened to catch it last night. And you can look it up. If you go to CBS News, there's a guy, Steve Hartman, who does a thing called On the Road, which is a segment that's been done for years. And it's just fun human interest stuff. And he was in Maine, in Freeport, Maine, probably in the last week or so. And there's this guy who lives down in Freeport who rakes up all the leaves in his yard into a pile maybe 5 feet, 6 feet tall. And he has two yellow Labrador retrievers who, as soon as they see the leaf pile, they come running out and dive into the pile. And it's been a thing on Facebook. I've seen it, and you should look it up. The video is just fantastic. CBS News On the Road. The dogs are Stella and Mabel. Stella started out; she was the original, and then they got a second yellow lab named Mabel, and she learned from Stella that this is something you need to do, and. There's video, the dog dives in the pile, and all you see is the tail sticking out of the leaves wagging, because this is the best thing ever. Or their head is sticking out. It's just the coolest thing. And it puts, for me, it just puts a lot of stuff in perspective. What's important in life? Jumping in a big pile. He has to keep his kids away from the leaves. Kids like to jump in piles of leaves. The dog brings it to a whole other level, and just a joyous dog experience. Let's go over to phones. Oh, that ain't going to work. We'll try that again. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039 if you'd like to call in. I was talking about my wife. If you think that I have fun on the radio with Pete, if I could get my wife to come on the radio with me, it'd bring the show to a whole other different level. And she is a local character. And I offered to pay her more than I get paid to come on the radio with me. And the negotiations will continue, because it would be worth it just to have her on. Just for fun, if nothing else. Let's go to the phones again, though. There we go. Good morning. You're on The Voice of Maine.
Hi, Tom. First of all, I just want you to know that I've been listening to you since the early 1990s.
Wow.
And my husband and I love your show, so thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
And I have a house question for you.
Mm-hmm.
We have a house that has white vinyl siding, and frankly, I hate the color. How do you paint vinyl siding, and with what do you paint it? What type of paint?
You can paint vinyl siding. They do make us they do make paint for painting vinyl siding. I think Sherwin-Williams okay. has it, but I think you can use conventional latex paint almost as well. I don't think there's much difference between the two. And the reason is that vinyl siding, as it's exposed to sunlight, the surface tends to open up a little bit, and so the paint can grab better. But even with new vinyl okay. siding, it'll accept paint. So I would check just to see, you know, a place like Home Depot or Lowe's and ask them, or look on okay. the can and see if it's compatible. I think it is. I've done it. I haven't painted a whole house with vinyl, but I have painted vinyl windows with paint, and it's never come off. You probably could scratch it off with your fingernail, but
you think Sherwin-Williams has a good?
I seem to recall that they had a paint specifically okay. for vinyl siding.
Okay.
So it's worth checking okay. with them.
Okay. And the house, it's old vinyl. It's been on there at least as long as we've owned the house, which is 20 years.
Yeah.
So it might need something a little bit more special. Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all. I think the older okay. the vinyl is, the better. It opens up a little bit more, I think, would accept paint more. I know we've got some painters okay. who listen to the show. Maybe they can comment on it as well. They text me.
Oh, I hope they will.
So.
I hope they will. Yeah.
Okay. We'll put it out there.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. I don't think there's any issues. Maybe painters who listen can comment further. I know if you... Excuse me. If you drip paint on vinyl, it really sticks well. And as I say, almost all plastics, as they are exposed to ultraviolet radiation, tend to open up the surface a bit. And I guess the term would be better tooth. It just is a rougher surface microscopically. And the paint has more to stick to. There's certain plastics that just don't paint, just will not stick to very well. Polyethylene, polypropylene, stuff like that. A PVC is not one of them. PVC is pretty accepting of paint. I've used AZEK trim, and I've used other trim as well, plastic trim. AZEK Veranda, I think, is the one Home Depot sells, the cheaper version of AZEK. And those accept paint readily. So I don't think there's any issue there. There might be some premium vinyls that have a special coating, but I don't think that'd be an issue. I'm looking at the clock here. Oh, my goodness. I got to go. I got to take a break. It's 8:16. We might hear from Pete soon. I know he's got people coming in, but maybe not. Maybe he'd just be sitting there waiting to call in. We'll be right back.
Fortune falling all over town. Be sure that your umbrella is up, upside down, and trading for a package of sunshine and ravioli,
macaroni.
If you want the things you love, you must have a pizzaoli, baby. And when you hear thunder, don't run under a tree. It'll be pennies from heaven for you and me. Now come over here, boy, Sam. And every time it rains And don't you know it's crocodiles Every time it rains And don't you know it's crocodiles You find your fortune falling All over town, all over town, all over town Be sure that your umbrella Is upside down, we live up I'll hop out through the hills of white Giggle out my hungry Zumba loot, the super root Oh, Bartley boys, oi Hey, Baba, ha, boy Ooh, Bartley, ho, man Woody-woo, ooh I knew I'd get you, I knew I'd get you Let's go, let's go, let's go
All right, we're back. 9:22, hot and cold Saturday morning, right there. Mr. Luigi Primo, got to have a little bit of Italian music. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about, huh? Let's see if this is working over here on line three. Pete, you there?
Do you know where I could get, like, quality fake mustaches, like ones that look real?
You know, I was, God, I was just thinking about that last night. I'd like to get some fake handlebar mustaches. Is that what you're thinking?
Let's not get weird. Not just a mustache. Just because some days you just want to, you know, some days you might want a mustache, and other days you might not.
Well, we need to find this out.
Yeah. Like, I might go talk to those guys in that armored car. I don't know. They'll be wearing a mustache.
Yeah.
I was eating lunch the other day. An army car was going, but I was opposite a bank driveway, and it was a van.
Yeah.
What happened? A van? I could knock that over in my Highlander.
Okay. All right. But, you just gave us your whole damn plan now.
Yeah, well, I'm not actually going to do it. So, okay. But then the chain of thoughts began, and it all morphed into, where do you get fake mustaches, you know? And then, so.
Fake mustaches online. Them. No?
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, it's online. You can never tell the quality stuff like that.
Well, I just Googled it. Holy mackerel. There's a whole bunch of them. Amazon's got fake mustaches up the wazoo. 56 pieces, realistic stick-on variety.
I'm going to guarantee you 56 bulk fake mustaches probably aren't going to be very good.
Pete, they cost $6.99, so they got to be good.
I said quality fake mustaches.
Quality, okay.
Listen, let's circle back around to this. We've got a couple of more days here. I've seen signs for comptroller, register of probate. I've seen a lot of those. I'll settle for congressman or representative.
Okay.
Or I'll do president. But I promise. I mean, you give me probate, and I can make it happen. I can get things rolling. I will get us affordable health care. And I don't mean affordable insurance. I mean affordable health care.
Okay.
I'll make it happen.
All right. I don't think probate judge has anything to do with health care. This is for people who have already passed away.
You get me anything with judge in the title, watch out.
Okay. All right.
People that have passed away, I can handle that because you know who's going to be coming sniffing around that estate and they're not going to get a penny?
No. Who?
Health care. The people that took care of the person, apparently not very well.
You know what probate judge does, Pete?
I know what the probate judge is going to do.
All right. Touché.
This week we were the nail.
Yeah. I think so.
Everything went wrong this week.
I didn't tell this story. I'm going to tell it in a gentle way.
There we go.
We had a car being
it's a
worked.
A story that I probably don't want him to tell.
Yeah. We had a car being worked on. Had to replace the emergency brake cable. And I this wasn't me who did this.
This is a story that I don't want you to tell.
Well, I'm going to tell it.
Okay, but don't tell it, though.
Okay. My my mechanic is putting the emergency brake cable, and he had to move the computer that operates the airbags. He didn't know this. I didn't know this. But we found out that there was a shock sensor inside that computer for the airbags. And he deployed the roof airbags, which fortunately he was okay, wasn't hurt.
Like, I'm going home.
And that at that point you call it a day.
That's the end of the day.
And he had to call me to tell me. And honestly, I didn't say much. And I felt bad for him. I felt worse for me because I have to replace him. Unfortunately, I'm the one who knows how to replace him. So I wound up replacing him. And if you remember the story about a month and a half ago, I had bought a Prius Prime that was in an accident, and all the airbags had deployed, including the roof airbags. And it was a nightmare getting them out. But I now have the experience, and it wasn't as horrible as I thought it would be, but it was a process. Peter and I had to take out the headliner in the car to have good access. And
that's a lot more involved than people might think.
It shouldn't be, but it is. But you know, these things are made to be taken apart if they have to be. Once you know how to do it, it's not bad. But if you're doing it for the first time, you haven't gone to the school. It was challenging, but it all worked out in the end. And put that in under my belt now is another experience. But here's the important thing, and this is the takeaway for anybody who works on cars, not just me or my mechanic. If you're anywhere near the airbag computer, disconnect 12-volt battery or unplug the airbag computer before you mess with it. Ideally, you just disconnect the 12-volt battery. And those are loud. That's an explosion when those deploy. It was interesting driving because he cut away the bags by the front windows so I could see. But the rear window, the airbags were hanging. And it looked like there were privacy curtains. It was fun. In hindsight, it was fun. So, speaking of fun, another project that Peter and I have discussed, I think we may have discussed it on the air, is in Frankfort, Maine. There is a house for sale right on Route 1A.
This is your project. I got nothing to do with this thing.
Oh, you'll be loving it.
No. I like projects. That's not a project. That's okay. A knockdown.
There's a house right after you, if you're going south, right after you go by the Frankfort post office, and I'm supposed to pronounce it Frankfort. It's Frankfort. Depends on where you come from, I guess. You hang a hard left. There's a house right there, mansard roof house for sale. It's called the Treat House, a very historic property. It's associated with the artist Waldo Pierce. I think one of his relatives owned it. And right next door to that is the Waldo Pierce reading room. So this is a historically important property. It's a beautiful house. It was a beautiful house. It was for sale. I went and looked at it a couple months ago for $79,900, which piqued my interest. Also wanted to see the inside of the house, and it is a project. It would kill me if I took it on by myself. I would be dead. I guarantee you. But they dropped the price by $20,000. It's now $60,000. So that God, isn't that tempting?
It's not a slow march of time with that house anymore, though. It's not like every winter is just a hammer tapping on things. Yeah. Every winter is going to be a sledgehammer knocking things out. You know?
Unfortunately,
it doesn't have a lot of life.
It might have a year. It'd be ideal to have the thing tarped for this winter, the roof. But I'm pretty sure that ain't happening this late in the season.
Well, I would say you should put a roof on the building and then tarp it, because you got to have something to tarp.
I think there's enough there to tarp too, but it ain't going to happen, I'm sure, given timing. You know, we're into November now, but it's an interesting it's a good, easy $150,000-$200,000 project, and I think that's just not finishing it, but getting the house stabilized and reasonably far along, depending on how good of an orchestrator you are, a general contractor you are in getting it done. But I'm afraid it's not for me, but boy, it's tempting. Anyway, we got to take a break, Pete. We've talked enough.
All right.
Okay? All right. So I'll hit the tune machine, and we'll be right back. Back 9:36 on Hot and Cold. We got Pete over on line three, and you alluded to the fact Bad Moon Rising could be the theme song for the week.
Yeah, we were definitely, if we were the hammer or the nail, we were the nail this week.
We were just struggling to get stuff done all week long. We did get a couple ready to go, so I guess that's good news. But some weeks, some weeks you're the hammer, some weeks you're the nail, and we got hit on the head pretty hard.
It was windy yesterday. I don't like windy days.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Wind is obnoxious.
Okay. I'm glad you think that, I guess.
I got a question for the listener base.
Okay.
It's an experience question. If you have any experience with this product, because I'm curious about it. Great stuff. It's got a can of spray foam they sell now with a wide nozzle for doing like...
For spraying.
Rim joints and you know, small wall cavities and stuff like that. And I'm curious about how well it works. It's $20 a can, so I'm not going to buy one just to try it, but I'd like someone else to buy one just to try it and then let us know what their experience was.
Where is it? I haven't seen it anywhere. I would have bought it by now.
Oh, gosh. It's Home Depot or Lowe's. I know that's not very helpful. One of those two carries it.
Well, you should have mentioned it earlier. I was at Home Depot this morning.
I'm curious as to what the coverage is and how that obviously aerosol can of spray foam is not going to have a perfect mixture like a spray foam contractor would get. But I'm curious as to what the coverage cost is compared to having a contractor come and spray foam something. I'm not saying order 40 cases of it and do your whole house that way, but
for spots it's probably okay. I can tell you. It's going to be somewhere between 1 and 2 pounds per cubic foot. So a cubic foot is 12 board feet. So that'd be 12 feet, 1 inch thick.
1 inch thick.
I'm going to guess the can is probably, let's call it a pound just to round it up. I don't think it's even a pound. Mm-hmm. So that would be somewhere between 6 and 12 square feet, 1 inch thick. That's probably where we are with that.
Yeah.
And if it's $20 for 6 square feet, that's $3.50 a square foot, roughly. It's expensive.
Well, that's no great shakes.
No, but
if you're doing like, you know, if you want to do, you know, from the top of the foundation to the bottom of the floor in the basement or something like that yourself, it's going to be cheaper than.
Yeah.
Somebody come in with a whole rig.
It depends on how much you got to do. I mean, if you're doing 12 square feet, you use that. If you need to do 100 square feet, you need to call a contractor because they may have a minimum that wouldn't even be enough. So, but that's where the trade off comes. But the bigger units, as they call them, which could be up to 600 square feet. Probably run a couple dollars a square foot. The problem is when you get into bigger surface areas, that potential for not having a good mix could come back and haunt you. And you could be spending you could be spending extra money for not a good result compared to having a contractor do it.
Yeah, the bigger kits you're getting into, you've got two separate canisters, and those are pressurized. And now you're getting into, unlike the stuff that's in one can, it's at least, mixed.
It'd be interesting to see how it comes out.
If the flow rate's not exactly right on the larger one, you're going to get a weird result.
Well, we got to get some and try it.
Well, now we got to spray foam something.
Okay, I think we can do that.
All right, now we know what's going on next week.
All right, we got a message here. Lowe's is expensive but works well.
That's it. Yeah, I'm sorry. I knew it was one of the two.
All right, we will get some and we will try it. Hopefully before the end of the week, or before next week, beginning of the week.
Yeah.
Is that the beginning or end?
Hey, you know what would be a good spot would be the ceiling in the utility room.
I was thinking exactly the same thing.
That would lighten it up. And then what's great about that is we'd be standing directly under it while we do it.
That's why we got the Tyvek suit.
Yeah, well, we'll put the face mask on and then just get it in our hair.
No, the Tyvek suit has a hood.
Oh, that's right.
We'd be look like professionals almost.
Yeah.
Okay.
We trick everybody.
That's for sure. Oh man. What else? I'm sorry.
How many trick-or-treaters did you get?
One was me.
Yeah.
I had some.
He comes in with these bags of candy the other day. He's like, I got these in case we get trick-or-treaters. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know full well we're not getting any trick-or-treaters.
Well,
not that we wouldn't welcome them, just our location is kind of an odd spot for it, but
yeah. Well, I figured just in case we got it. We're covered. And Marie and I have been eating the peppermint patties. So I guess that was a good thing. Oh, this morning I tried something a little different. I was talking just before I left the house, I was discussing with your mother, my wife, the fact that it'd be a lot of fun to have her on this program. And I offered to pay her more than I get paid to do it.
And you don't pay me nothing.
No, but that's you kind of get what you pay for, I guess. But
true.
I'm kidding. She would be fun to have on the radio. And I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm going to work on it because it would be a treat for the audience. And she's one of these people who does not want to be heard on the radio.
Well, I'm sure she'd get a lot of condolences. You know, like, we understand what you've been dealing with for so many years.
It will be fun. I'm working on it because if we can do it, it will enhance the program greatly.
I just saw a hitchhiker. Do you think I should call the sheriff or no?
No.
Okay.
Goodness. So should we talk about cars at least a little bit or no?
I don't even want to think about cars anymore.
It was such a challenging week. I mean, we did get cars done and we basically made progress on most fronts. And well, I'll tell another car story
if it wasn't windy, it would have been a lot easier.
Yeah. Okay. I picked up a month ago a 2021 Prius Prime. Got tapped in the right front corner. And I fixed the car. And the there's not an air conditioner in a Prius Prime. Being a hybrid electric, plug-in electric car, they have a heat pump. Similar to what a mini split would be. It will heat or cool the car because standard hybrid car and a standard gas car has all the waste energy that comes off the gas engine. And that warms the cab in the wintertime. And there's a tremendous amount of heat. If you're running an electric car, you don't have that heat. You have some heat coming off of things, but not necessarily enough to heat the car. So they have a heat pump. Toyota, in their infinite wisdom, put it in that front corner where the car got tapped. And it looked okay to me. I had to replace a hose, I guess. I replaced the hose, and I evacuated the system, and it wouldn't hold a vacuum. Now, I couldn't find it. Couldn't find the leak. I pressurized the system, still couldn't find a leak. So I gave it to one of my mechanics, and he found two spots where it was leaking. And the interesting part of this equation is that Toyota doesn't sell these are little, what were you calling, Pete? Blocks of aluminum with connections on them and O-rings and stuff. And some of them aren't available. You have to buy a complete unit for $3,000. So, and
that's going to be a 21 with no AC.
Yeah. So, anyway, went round and round with this, trying to find the parts. Ultimately, I found the most important, there were two parts. One was really okay. It didn't look good, but it was okay. The other one, and we were able to use that. The other one was available. And I'm not exaggerating. It's a piece of aluminum, an inch and a half by, maybe an inch, call it an inch and a half cube. It had machine things and O-rings and stuff. $274, my cost. I think it retails for almost $400. But we got that fixed. And now heats and cools. So that one's almost ready to go out. That's going to be a fun one. That's the end of that story, Pete.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What a great story, huh? But, I mean, this is the kind of thing. You chase your, you know, when you get into a car, whether it's just a regular car, we got an auction, or it's an insurance car that we want to, you know, bring back because it's not hurt very bad. We're chasing issues that are not typical of say a regular car that might have. You know, we've been dealing with this for a while, and it seems to me that a lot of the technology gets traded off to computers from mechanical stuff. And for good reason. I mean, computers tend to make the cars more efficient, more user-friendly, but in some cases, they can be extraordinarily frustrating because none of us are computer whizzes, and computer whizzes aren't normally car guys. So, having said that, I do have a text message here before we go any further. Good morning, Tom. So spray foam, you need to invent some spray foam that hardens with a skim coat to do body work. Boy, I've thought about that. That's from our friend Jim down in Bristol. I think about that a lot, actually.
Yeah, and I disagree with spray foam for body work.
Yeah, it doesn't hold up. And I've worked with some high-density foams. They use high-density foam a lot in boats. And it's pretty rugged stuff, but it doesn't, and I don't, you know, it'd be fun to try.
I think even a high density foam is not going to withstand the sort of collision that a car would hit, but versus a boat.
But a lot of people who make custom cars, you know, like the Batmobile or something like that, might use foam and sculpt the foam and then fiberglass it.
That's sort of beast though.
Yeah. And you know, when that breaks, you're fiberglassing. You're not just spray foaming or spray coating. There's no, because these things don't lay flat when you apply them. And foam in particular does not uniformly, it kind of uniformly pops up after you apply it, but it's not smooth. It's lumpy looking. So, but I have worked a lot with high, well, we, you know, when we were making tanks and stuff, especially in solar collectors, we did a lot of work with foam. Have used a lot of spray foam over the years, different densities. And you can get spray foam that, or not spray foam, pour foam, where you mix it and then you pour it into a form. That's very high density. You can't dent it with a hammer. And one example of that would be in downtown Bangor, the Children's Museum has that big frog out front, the frog clock.
The whole building is made of spray foam.
No, just the frog out front is made of spray
foam. Just the frog spray foam.
Okay. So what do we got for cars, Pete? We got a little time still.
Yeah.
This is my salesman over here.
What do you want me to? I got a Prius, 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 and a Rav. Go to www.prius.store.
Okay.
And you can see our current stock with pictures and prices and mileages. And, we've got a Rav. I've got a regular gas RAV4 going out today.
Yep.
That's a 14 with 174K on it.
Yep.
I don't quite remember the price. I think it's like $8,800. All-wheel drive.
Mm.
Nice car. Clean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Red.
Red is good. I've got a message here, text message. You suggested annual undercoating. Would it make sense to also hit the metals with naval jelly or some other rust dissolver prior to undercoating? Yes. A couple of steps if you're going to do that. One would be to power wash underneath the car, let it dry, and then use what would be called a conversion coating, which is similar to naval jelly. You can get it in a spray bottle. You don't have to brush it on. And what that's going to do is convert the rust to something a little more stable, especially if it's just a little bit of surface rust. And it's funny because some cars, underneath, there's almost no rust, but then there might be a spot. And I've seen this a lot with Fords in particular. Everything looks brand new underneath the car, and then there's a spot somewhere that's actually penetrated. May or may not be an issue, but it's there.
I read that always has to do with recycled steel. Like, that spot is not, you know, steel. It's something else got mixed in with it.
It could be. I mean, you know, I'm not a metallurgist. I don't know anybody to ask about that, but it could very well be. Although, I hasten to add, you know, we deal with a number of different cars. And I was looking at a car this week that was at a regular auction, and it was a Lexus version of the Prius. And it was, 2012. And they had photos of underneath the car. So was that car 12 years old, 13 years old, technically. And it looked fantastic. And I've seen that a lot with Lexus automobiles in particular. They do an extra step there. I don't know what it is, but they stand up a lot. Now, and that's a low car. I mean, I've had Lexus SUVs, and they always look good underneath. They look like something that might have come from Florida. And we've had a few have come from Florida, but most are not. Most are from New England or northern states. But they always are intact. There's no surface rust. There's you're looking at original paint underneath the car. And Toyota, in making the Lexus, does something additional that I wish everybody did on everything, especially with what we deal with up here. But that's not the case. So, I think it's a prudent step, and you can get it in a pump bottle, spray bottle, conversion coating, and it makes sense to do that if you have, you don't have to put it on if there's no rust there. Just put it on the rusty spots before you undercoat. It's an extra step that's worthwhile. So, anything to add, Pete, for Election Day before we go?
Oh, boy, I don't know. Who do I want to thank?
you have been.
Oh, you mean,
I have heard from at least one person. They wrote your name in.
Good. Yes. Let's get somewhere.
Yeah. So
you know, I'll throw this out there to the people with signs. I'll tell you this: if you get elected, I have people come in here and tell me that they like my ideas, and I don't think they do that with you. Okay. So you come, you give me a job, and I'll help you with ideas. But you're not getting credit for them. You're going to say Pete had an idea, and then you can say, and I will impose it. But we can work together. We can make something happen.
Okay. All right.
So I don't own anything. I don't own any L.L. Bean clothes, so you know I'm actually from Maine.
Okay. I'm wearing an L.L. Bean shirt.
I don't like the commercials where they're dressed like that. It bothers me.
Well, I like the shirt.
I'm also from Maine.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I remember years ago when they were trying to put the propane tank in Searsport. And all the people came from Colorado.
They came to the meeting wearing like flannel and stuff.
They all had brand new,
you can see the creases.
You can see. Thank you. Yeah, it was obviously brand new L.L. Bean clothing, and it was hilarious. I got the biggest kick out of it when all these people would come marching
in. You know,
in.
I remember when my grandfather used to take me in the woods hunting. It reminds me of...
I do, you know, my wife likes to find deals for me on L.L. Bean shirts because they do last longer.
And you go down to Rennie's. They always got a good sale going on there.
Well, they do sometimes. I was in there last week. I was looking at a sweatshirt. It was $80. So
nah, that was a different one. You went to the flagship one. You got to go.
No, I went. I was the one in Belfast, and then I went over to Job Lots, and I got a sweatshirt for $15 with fleece lining. That, by golly, that's my new go-to, right there. I actually have worn one for a couple of years. I got a new one. And I told the lady as I was checking out.
Well, you should treat yourself.
Yeah, this is an old one. This is not one I took off the rack to put on and walk out the door with. She says, I see a lot of people wearing our clothes. Well, yeah, because they're affordable. And they're halfway decent. So and Rennie's is the other place to, when they have a sale. So, all right, we're out of time.
All right.
All right.
Sounds good.
Pete is available for just about anything.
I got nothing going on. Come on by.
Pete, have a great week. Everybody out there.
Yes, sir.
Take care. Doesn't interest me. Love the life that I lead. I've got a pocket full of miracles. And with a pocket full of miracles, one little miracle a day is all I need. T-Rubble's more or less be all the me, I guess, when the sun doesn't shine. But there's that pocket full of miracles.